Okay, today the word comes from Mark chapter 10, starting at verse 35. So Mark 10, 35 through 45. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, what we want you to do for us, whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left hand in your glory." And Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And they said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left hand is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." And when the ten heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." I spent 5 summers working at a summer camp in northern Michigan, and the camp had a motto, and it was, "The other fellow first." And the legend goes that the motto was established when, on some years ago, you know, before the camp was really established, that some kids were playing on the recreation field, which is a little ways from the lake, and it was a really hot summer day, and so after they were done playing, they all wanted to get a drink, and so in order to demonstrate the motto, "The other fellow first," they all lined up from all the way down to the lake. There was the oldest campers at the lakefront all the way down to the youngest campers, all the way back by the recreation field. And so the oldest campers scooped up the water in, you know, a bucket. That was back in the days when you could drink lake water. It wouldn't be too bad for you. So they passed the bucket on down all the way down the line so that the littlest one could have the first drink. And then so on back to where the first oldest one would have the last drink. To reinforce the idea that it is about the other fellow first, about the littlest, the weakest, the most vulnerable first. And I've always lived by that, even before, you know, going to work there. It just makes sense to allow the other fellow first, to take care of the other fellow first. Or as Jesus says, to serve and not to be served. We human beings, and I've said before, and I will probably keep saying it till the end, we are thirsty for power and control, no matter what, no matter who we are. And it could be something as, you know, some simple search for power and control, and or some great thirst for power and control. We always want it. And I think my theory is that that's the root of sin, is the seeking after power and control. If you go back to the garden, why didn't Adam and Eve want to eat the fruit? And they were convinced by Satan in the garden that it would make them like God, that they would have the ability to know good and evil, power and control. In our gospel reading, James and John, brothers, John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, the closest to Jesus, the ones who are in on all of his things that he does, you know, Mount of Transfiguration, all of that stuff, and they're still power hungry. They want to sit at the right hand and left hand of Jesus when he's on his throne in his kingdom, in his glory, they say. So what they are asking for is the two seats of power next to the king. They, even the disciples, seek after power. For once, it's not Peter, you know, shooting his mouth off. It's James and John seeking after power. What is it that they want? What is it that they are looking for? That seat of glory, that seat of recognition, that seat of power. It's what human beings desire. We desire power. In the Matrix movies, it's so funny. I know I shouldn't use these movies as any kind of analogy, but the scene in the second movie where Keanu Reeves is talking with the Oracle, and she says, "What do all men want? With all men with power, what do all men with power want? And that is more power." And that's so true. You know, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. That's the nature of control and power. And we see that here in our gospel reading. And Jesus brings it to their attention because they're about to go toe-to-toe. Verse 41 says, "When the ten heard it, they began to be indignant with James and John." Yeah, you could understand that, you know, that they're somehow seeking this insider knowledge, this insider power. Yeah, they're going to be indignant with them, and they're going to let them know that they're indignant with them. And so before they go to blows, Jesus steps in and says, hey, this is not the way it is with us. Yes, the world around us, the kingdom around us, the Gentiles around us, he says, those who are not in, they use their power to lord it over one another. They use their authority to control one another and suppress one another and oppress one another. And that is the nature of the world around us. That's the nature of the world around us that we see today. We see that struggle for power everywhere. Everyone is struggling for power and control. And they're synonymous. Power and control go hand in hand. If you have power, you have control. If you have control, you have power. That's just the way that it is. And we see it everywhere, from the political realm to the cultural realm to the whatever power, and even among brothers and sisters and families and churches. And there's always a struggle for power. And Jesus says, it's not supposed to be like that. Among followers of Jesus, the struggle for power should not be there. In fact, it should look exactly the opposite. This is one of the times in the gospel where it's sort of similar to when Jesus says, you've heard it said, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, love your enemies. You know, and so what he's saying is, you know, in the world that the search for power involves exercising authority, it involves oppression, it involves suppression, it involves controlling one another, at least a different group. And so he says, But I'd say to you, if you're going to follow me, it doesn't look like that. In fact, it looks just the opposite. He says, whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is so hard for us, human beings with egos and with the desire for power and control, to say, my job, my life, is simply to serve. It's not to be served. It's not to get my way. It's not to struggle for my way. It's not to fight for my way. It's to serve. And, you know, there's a lot of yeah buts that go with this. And I imagine there's a few of in your ears ringing right now. Yeah, but what about this? Yeah, but what about this? And yeah, we need to recognize, you know, the faults in our kingdom, the faults in our left hand and right hand, and the faults that, you know, sort of are all around us. And we recognize that those are faults. Yeah, but what about this? Yeah, but what about that? Those are broken pieces of a system that is flawed already. And so Jesus is saying, he's not saying that it's going to be easy. He's not saying, in fact, he says to the disciples, you know, the cup that I drink of God's wrath is going to be something that you're going to face. And the baptism, sort of the baptism by fire and rage, you're going to see that. In Christians too, you know, this is the thing. When we struggle for power with the world, we end up being just like the world, and we will suffer for it. But at the same time, being a servant, being one who serves rather than one who is served, you'll suffer for that too. But that's kind of the way that it is. When we serve one another, we don't get our way. When we serve one another, we don't get what we want. And that's the point. The point is not to necessarily just always get what I want, but to make sure that others are being taken care of before I am. To make sure that everything is good with those around me before I seek after my own comfort or benefit. Jesus says that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. You know, the Son of Man, Jesus, God in the flesh, is the only one who really is, you know, the one who ought to be served. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who has all authority and power in the world. We ought to be serving him, or, you know, that, but he came to serve us. He came to serve his creation. He came to serve and give himself up for us. He came to lay down his life, to allow the world to walk on his back, the world to abuse and kill him, so that we could serve one another and that we could know the love of God. He came to serve by giving up his life so that the cup that he drinks and the baptism with which he's baptized, he endures that on the cross for us. And in turn, you know, the gospel response, I hesitate to use that because then it sort of turns it into law, you know, that we have to do this. And it kind of is true, you know, this is why we've been saved, is to serve. The church has been saved, the people of God have been saved through Christ to serve. Not to be served, and not always to get their own way, but to serve one another, to serve the least of these, to serve the oppressed, to serve those who are widows and orphans, as the scriptures say. That's our primary objectives. When Jesus recounts this parable of the way that it will be at the end times when he judges all people, and he says, you know, we're people who are naked and we clothed them, hungry and we fed them, thirsty and we gave them something to drink, in prison and we visited them, sick and we tended to them. This is what we do. This is how we serve. And this is how we serve God too. You know, we can't just sort of come up to the cross and kneel and say, I'm here to serve. What do you need? Because what Jesus will say is, look around. Who needs something? Does your neighbor need something? Does the person down the street need something? Does a homeless person need something? Serve. Go out and serve them. Take care of them. Speak for them. Fight for them. Serve them. And that's hard. It's really hard because our thirst for power kind of bubbles up. Our stereotypes and our isms sort of flow to the surface when we're asked to serve, especially groups that we don't really want to. We don't really want to serve, but we do. Because we don't exercise power and authority over people. We don't lord our status as those who have been saved by God. We don't lord that over people. We serve. And it looks so different in so many different places. So, what I just want to encourage you to do then is to go serve, knowing that God has forgiven. God has blessed, God has gifted, God has given us so many things that we're just discovering the tip of the iceberg of what God has given us. And go and serve with that. Go and share. Go and take care of the least of these. Go and help. Go and share. And go in peace and serve your neighbor. Thanks be to God.